Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Now, back to the Graybar Sports Open Line, presented in part by St. Luke's Hospital, St. Louis's number one heart hospital, on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Hi, back at it as we do get into the 7 o'clock hour. Coming up this hour, we'll hear from Chaim Bloom a little bit later on. He does his weekly conversation with Tom Ackerman on Sunday mornings. We try to take a little bit of that on Mondays and play back some of the clips, and I'll give you my thoughts on it. Cardinals are going through a lot right now. They are going through a lot right now, and we'll touch on some of those things, whether it's the injuries, the pitching situation, just they're going through a lot. They're back at tomorrow, by the way, when they take on Baltimore. Wanted to bring on right now Matthew Rocchio. He does a great job covering City SC. He's also our producer a lot of times here in the evening time, so it works out quite well. I don't have to work that hard to book Matthew Rocchio when he's already going to be in the studio. So that's a good thing. City, they are coming off another win. They just keep winning. They just keep finding a way. And the win against Houston, 2-1, that's a really good Houston team. That's a heck of a game for them, and it's good to see. So that's good. What is not good is some of the players who are really well-known and well-liked are walking out the door. Marcel Hartl earlier. Now it is Edward Leuven who's not going to be part of this team, and he has been through so much personally and supported, and St. Louis has really loved him. And now for whatever reason, and we'll talk about that with Matthew Rocchio coming up here in just a moment, for whatever reason, he is not going to be here anymore. So let's bring Matthew Rocchio on to the program. And this is something where I think fans are really enjoying right now, the fact that they're winning so much. But I also think there is some discontent with the fact that some players that they really appreciate aren't going to be here anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing because they're playing really well. So you think, hey, let the good times roll. 12-game unbeaten streak, 11 of those being inside of MLS play. One of those is their win over Houston in the U.S. Open Cup. That's why there's a semifinal game coming up in September. So all that's great, but at the same time, you lose just objectively your two best players outside of your goalkeeper, and people have to ask questions about how sustainable this is. What is the future going to look like? What is this team trying to do this season? And those are all fair questions, I think.
This might be a large segment of tell me why I'm wrong, which is fine because I get stuff wrong all the time. I think sometimes as Americans, when we're talking about MLS, we have a hard time acknowledging the fact that MLS is not the top league because we're used to Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL, the NFL. That is the top thing. In the whole world, that's the best baseball, the best football, the best hockey, the best whichever one I just didn't mention of the four. In soccer, it's not that way. So, if a player leaves City to go to a team in another country, a lot of times I just accept that as, okay, they're going to a higher level. Whether that's true or not, I just kind of accept that for what it is. When I see one of your guys who's such a big part of the team going to another MLS team, that's where I go, why? What? So this Leuven situation, and then, I mean, there's just the personal stuff behind it. Tell me why this is happening and why, more tell me why this has to be happening.
It gets down to the asset management side of things, which is on the front leg of things, he's not having the best year. If you dig into a lot of the numbers, he's actually not having a down year. It's just that he's been so good and been such a large part of the team 2023, 2024, 2025. He's had a lesser role this year, so it feels like he's been diminished. He's still playing very well, but his value probably isn't the highest it could be because he started the season late because of the unfortunate tragedy of his wife passing away. He had to get back into shape and things like that. So he's only really played 7 or 8 games of the 21 of this season at full strength, 100%. So his value is a little bit lower. So it seems questionable. They have an option for him next season. His value is not at its highest right now. Why sell him now? And the simple fact is because he most likely wasn't going to improve his value over the next however many months, because he's not going to be part of Yoan DeMay's primary plan, because he doesn't fit Yoan DeMay's system in a complete 100% way. And when you bring in guys like Alex Matan and you bring in guys like Carlo Holse, who fit his system almost like a glove, it makes sense why a head coach who doesn't necessarily think he can fit that player into his system 100%, he's going to say, listen, let's get the value for him now, because I'm not going to be playing him enough for you guys to actually retain or pick up more value. So now is the best time as an asset to move him in this window. I disagree with him not being able to fit Edward Luvin into the system, but that appears to be the DeMay's opinion on things, and it's his team and his system, and so we're going to have to acquiesce to that.
Well, so, will they say, because if I was running like communications for City, my advice to them on that would be, you need to explicitly state this to the fans. Mm-hmm. Whether it's DeMay, whether it's Corey Ray, whoever it might be, you need somebody to get in front of a microphone and in no uncertain terms say, we love Edward Luvin. We think he's a really, really good player, but he doesn't fit our system. So that's why we're moving on from him. Will they do that?
I think no, they won't directly say that, mainly because I think in the world of sports, I think DeMay would probably view as admitting that as maybe taking a shot at Luvin at a level he doesn't want to in public, basically saying he doesn't fit this system. I wonder if he would say, if because DeMay's thing is like all auto coaches, like if you ask him a question a certain way, you'll get one answer. If you ask the same question in a slightly different way, he might stonewall you and give you nothing. And I think expecting him to admit that Edward Luvin just doesn't fit into the system, he's done it in other ways that are much less direct. And so that's how we kind of got here, is that we can piece together a lot of comments he's made and get to this answer. But he at no point has publicly come out and said definitively he doesn't fit this system, and I don't expect him to.
I think they should. Do you just say, I get the sense you disagree with me.
No, I think I would love for them to do it. I just think,
I don't think, and not to interrupt you, but I don't think that's disrespectful at all. I think that's giving a reason.
Yeah.
I think that's lifting this guy up and saying he really fits other teams. He's a really good player. We just want to do things a little bit differently. And for the fans who have A, fallen in love with this guy, B, watched him have some good moments for the team, and C, which is very unique to him, have supported him through an unthinkable tragedy where there is an emotional connection to this individual that you don't see exist in sports very often. I think fans are owed more candor in the reason for them moving on from him.
I think Corey Ray will say something closer to what you expect.
That's fine.
I don't think DeMay will, but I think Corey Ray will admit that he's a great player, but he doesn't fit what we're doing going forward. I don't know if we're going to get anything more demonstrative than that, because part of the reporting from Tom Bogert of The Athletic is that Edward Luvin went to them and said, I want some long-term answers. And I think the bigger thing is that they were probably talking, I think they might have been talking to teams, and he heard about it.
Yeah.
And was like, hey, what's going on long-term? But they don't want to, why not talk long-term with Edward Luvin? He's 29 years old. He's entering his prime. You don't need multiple years to rebuild an MLS team. He should be part of a winning team going forward. So what's the only reason to do this? If his value is not at its highest, if you have an option for him for next year, and he's 29 years old, the only reason to do this is, one, you don't expect him to have a large role. And two, he gets paid too much for the role you expect him to have, and therefore you think it's bad roster management to have a player making 100% starter money everywhere, every other team in the league that's starter money. Having that guy be a bench player is bad roster management and would also hurt his value going into next year. So we get back to the asset management side of things. Okay. So I can see an angle of why they do this, but you have to accept the premise of, Yoan DeMay doesn't think that Edward Luvin fits this system long term. And for some people, that's a tricky premise to accept.
Okay, so that's what they believe. A few moments ago, you said you think essentially that they should find a way to make him fit in the system or something along that lines. Take me through that a bit. What is it that you feel like the organization could have done to make sure that it would work?
This is not just soccer. This is, in my opinion, any sport. There are ways to fit any kind of player. And I think the history of sports over the last 20 or 30 years across any sport is the stories of players who one group of people said he can't do that, he can't fit, he can't play in this league at this time. And another group says, if you just tweak something a little bit, there's plenty of ways to fit this guy in. And I think there's different examples across multiple sports where guys who are not traditional in a way you look at the game can find a way to fit because the coach finds a way. And my thing and why I have an issue with this is that Yoan DeMay clearly is a very talented coach. His system is very good. And he talks a lot about flexibility in the system, variability in the attack so that defenses don't know what's coming. Edward Louvin might not be 100% pure fit, but he's a very good player. He's better than most of the people on this roster. And so being able to find a spot for him in this offense seems like it should be something they should be able to do to embrace that flexibility, embrace that variability. But DeMay has decided, and he's talked about this before, sometimes when he plays a player that can't run as much as he wants, because a lot of this comes down to just DeMay wants players who are going to run nonstop for 90 minutes and who also can be slow things down and play a very technical, sound game, not like what we saw in 2023 when it was all energy drink football, as people like to say. So he wants people who can run a ton the entire game. That's not Edu's game, but to me, you can morph things around him and still fit him in there without losing too much. I just think DeMay would disagree.
So over the last few years, again, I think some of the fan favorites have been obviously Klaus, and I had no issue with them moving on from him. I think that made sense for a lot of reasons. Jake Nowitzki, Indiana Vasilev, Marcel Hartl, now Edward Louvin. Like, those are, what, five of the most seven, eight, nine most fan favorite guys in the history of the organization.
And people love Nico Joachini. They got rid of him after the very first season.
So who's the, and part of that is the personality as well. You know, those guys have good personalities. They're the, who on this team is in that next group?
I think Dante Polvara is an interesting choice. He's playing really well. He's a young guy. He's a good talker, and he's part of this regime. He's one of the first moves under Corey Ray that this team made. So you know that everything from the perspective of, does he fit the system? Could he be here long term? He's young. He doesn't get paid a lot, and clearly he fits this system like a glove because he played a different position before they brought him here and switched him to this spot, and he's playing this well. Polvara could be one of them going forward. I think Daniel Edelman's a really special kid. He's a little quiet, gets a little bit better in front of the camera and things like that. Daniel Edelman should quickly become a fan favorite. And then hopefully Alex Matan and Carlo Holse, the reason why DeMay got his guys in there and could transfer Edward Louvin, he got his guys in, so they're going to have to embrace it as well.
And I get that. A new sporting director, new coach, you want your own people, you want guys to fit the system. It's just, what a weird, they can't lose, yet the individuals that fans are most connected to are walking out the front door. It's a really weird thing right now.
And that's the thing, is you have to continue to give the benefit of the doubt to Yoan DeMay because he keeps winning. And if you hear the conversations we have with him, he's obviously knows what he's doing. He's a smart guy. He's only 36 years old, and he's pulling this off. The team keeps winning as they lose talent. That tells you the system is doing something right. DeMay knows what he's doing. I disagree with him on this one. He will most likely prove me wrong.
You can just argue back and forth with Matthew Rocchio all you want if you go on Twitter at Rock STL Real, ROCC, by the way, at ROCC STL Real. Make sure to check him out there. Does incredible job. Both the two main things he's covering, City SC, and then his Billikens coverage is top notch as well. And he's a pretty good producer as well. So, Matthew, thanks for doing that for a few minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Pauly.
All right. Again, we're going to go back through much of what Chaim Bloom said to Tom Ackerman in just a moment or so. And he talks every Sunday morning during Sports on a Sunday Morning. I said it before, it's such a fun kind of 72 hours where much of the Cardinal conversation is set with what Chaim Bloom says on Sunday and what Oliver Marmol says during the Gas House Gang on Tuesdays. That'll be tomorrow at 12 noon.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything and your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
back at on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on at KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. Just a few minutes left in the program as we take you until 8 o'clock this evening. No Cardinals baseball this evening. Cardinals are back at tomorrow as they are set to open up a series against the Baltimore Orioles. There's some question marks about the Cardinals roster going into this series coming up tomorrow. We don't really know what the pitching is going to look like over the next few days. We don't totally know what some of the positions. Is Mason Wynn going to still be on the roster tomorrow? Is he going to end up on the injured list? There's just a lot of stuff that is up in the air. We like to do this on Mondays. We don't have a lot of Mondays where we have shows because more often than not, the Cardinals are playing on Monday, but this is one of those weeks where the Cardinals are not playing on Monday, so we try to go back and play for you some of what Cardinals President of Baseball Operations Chaim Bloom had to say during a conversation that he always has with Tom Ackerman during sports on a Sunday morning. If you don't catch it on Sunday mornings, would encourage you to do so. Very, very cool. It's this 72-hour period where we have Chaim Bloom every Sunday morning and then Oliver Marmol every Tuesday afternoon for Gas House Gang. Must listen to radio for Cardinals fans. But for those of you who, A, either miss Chaim on Sundays, or B, would like to hear some of it again, or C, would like to hear some of it again, and then maybe with my thoughts thrown in there as well, we do on Mondays try to play back some of what Chaim did say to Tom on Sunday morning. So with that, let's get right to it. And it should be noted, this conversation does take place on Sunday morning, so it happened before the terrible Cardinals loss yesterday. So everything that was said should be considered that it was being said through that lens, that what happened in the finale against the Phillies had not yet occurred. Not that that impacts things very much, but just something to keep in mind. And they opened up talking about Quinn Matthews because the previous day, Saturday, Matthews went out and he struggled. He definitely struggled against the Phillies, but what he did was he found a way to make it through five. And there are some days where it just does not go well because the Phillies scored three runs in the first and four runs in the third. At that point, with all due respect to all parties involved, it's a long shot that the Cardinals are going to find a way to win this game. So what can you do to make sure that you're not hurt too much from a bullpen perspective moving forward? And Matthews, even with an elevated pitch count, was able to find his way through five innings. And Chaim said that that was something that was good to see and was key and a very small positive to take away from that.
Obviously, something like that, there's not many positives in a sense to take. You don't feel good at the end of that one, but it was really critical what he was able to do to go back out there, be able to give us five on a reasonable pitch count. Those things do matter over the course of a season. They are a sign of some additional maturity and some growth on the part of a young pitcher, and it's just really important, especially where our pitching staff is right now. Obviously, no secret, we've been beat up in a couple different ways. So really nice to see him do that, and nice to be able to take that from an evening when not a whole lot of other things went right.
I do think that is notable because in a lot of our conversation here and what we've talked about today on the show has been connected to starting rotation health and the bullpen just being absolutely worn to a nub here, and that's where they're at. So getting another inning or so from Matthews, that helps this team. The off day today helps the team as well, but this is a bullpen that's been worked hard, and it's a rotation that for a number of reasons you're not getting what you have been getting. I mean, this has been a top 10 rotation this season, but right now, in many ways, it's kind of a shell of itself. For the first part, because of the injuries, both Andre Pallante and Hunter Dobbins are out. Chaim gave an update on both those players.
Andre's a little bit more straightforward in that we've already got the baseball back in his hand, and you know, obviously he's going to miss his next turn, just the timing of the IL, but we're hopeful that he can be back after that and planning on that. And, you know, as long as we don't have any hiccups there, that should be the case, and it should only be a minimum stay. With Hunter, obviously this is all pretty fresh, and we want to get a little more work to just make sure we understand the extent of this and don't take any unnecessary chances, knowing how, you know, critical arm health is and now the flexor in particular is really really important to protect the other structures in the arm. So we're still kind of mapping that out. Obviously, he is on the IL, so we know at a minimum he's going to miss a little bit of time, and we're going to see from there when we get everybody back home and go through some more tests. So we're going to have to figure out what to do with his spot. these next couple times through, and we're still having discussions on that, but we'll have more information as we get through the week.
And then the other thing that's going on, and this has become somewhat controversial, I think yesterday specifically because of what happened with the game and the way that Kyle Leahy was handled, there seems to be a fair amount of people that don't like what the Cardinals are doing right now when it comes to kind of slowing down, taking the foot off the pedal on Kyle Leahy. And I get it in the sense that you've got a guy who has been really, really good. He's been really, really good this year, and you're not getting the innings from him that you were getting before. But it's also very clear that when you push a guy's workload, and I've said this a million times, I'll repeat it one more time. When you push a guy's workload exponentially past a certain number from one season to the next, you're just asking for injury, and you're asking for major injury. You're asking for Tommy John. And if the Cardinals just kept giving the ball to Kyle Leahy every fifth day and letting him go as long as he could, and then next year in spring suffers an injury, he's got Tommy John, and he misses a season, we could really easily point back to bad decisions that were made. So I'm 100% with the Cardinals on what they're doing with Kyle Leahy, but it does create a challenge for this team, and I'm...
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
Did talk about the fact that they are trying to navigate Leahy through the season.
Kyle's just been outstanding and seems to be getting better as the season goes along. I remember you and I having conversations in April and May of, hey, are you going to be able to stick with this? And, you know, this is an example of why you do when you trust someone to adjust and adapt and grow. But that being said, we do need to be mindful of this and make sure that even bigger and better days are ahead for him. And so that's part of the plan as we go forward. And obviously with the injuries to some of the other guys, we're going to have to get a little more creative as to how we do that, because we want to make sure that we can keep him going and keep him in a position to help us win games without putting so much on him that we're taking unnecessary risks with his future, as he's really established himself as a capable major league starting pitcher.
The roster move they did make here over the last couple of days was Ryan Fernandez got called up. He's been more good than bad at the big league level this season. Now, some of his numbers, like his ERA, looks maybe a little bit better than it actually is, just because there's been some unearned runs that he's given up this year. But for the most part, Fernandez has gone out there and he's been able to do a mostly good job for the Cardinals. And we'll see what happens. I mean, things do happen. Things do change, obviously, where all of a sudden you might need a roster spot. And he did his outing against the Phillies did not look good, where he went two innings allowing four runs on four hits. But all that being said, Heim indicating that we'll see a pretty solid run here for Fernandez getting an opportunity at the major league level.
I think as we go through, you know, certainly this week, with knowing we are going to have to get a little creative with our pitching plan, and then into September when rosters expand, I think Ryan's one of a few guys that I would expect we'll see some opportunity up here, both because they deserve it, and there's a few guys you could say that about, and the way that they pitch down in AAA, and also just to make sure that we're doing right, not just by our future and getting some of these guys a little more experience, but also just making sure that we have capable arms up here to shoulder the load, as of course we do need to work around some of these injuries and make sure we're taking care of everybody's workload. So it is going to be a team effort as we go through the coming weeks. I don't think that's so unusual. As you get into September, you usually have that. We're in the dog days of the year where, you know, guys are carrying a lot of workload. We have a young team, so you have a lot of guys in territories where they haven't really been before, and that's why it's important to have these reinforcements. And, you know, we always talk about it. It's like this cliche that you never have enough pitching. And, you know, we've been so fortunate and due to the hard work of a lot of people over the last couple of years to avoid the injury bug, and it got us this week. I mean, that's going to happen. So that's why we're going to continue as we go forward to always be trying to amass pitching depth, because you really never have enough.
Since we are talking about the injury situation, a couple guys that are dealing with injuries, one to the injured list, one not yet. We'll start with the one who's not yet. That is shortstop Mason Winn. He is dealing with a jammed thumb. Took him a little while to get some imaging. We've talked about that on the program, which seems a little bit odd. And they do seem historically more willing to let Wynn try to work through stuff as opposed to going on the injured list. And again, this came yesterday morning. We'll get more details tomorrow, but this was the update on Mason Wynn.
We haven't quite turned the corner yet with that. And he's a tough kid, loves to play. He always posts. And so when he doesn't, you know, he really needs a day, or in this case, that it isn't progressing the way that we hoped after he jammed it on the base the other day. So, you know, we're doing our best to stay away from him as we go forward here and get a better look at this thing when we get back home, make sure we haven't missed anything. And at a minimum, just try to buy him the benefit of that off day to try to turn the corner so that he can get in there. Obviously, it does affect him swinging a bat, and, you know, it has really limited what he's been able to do. So we're trying our best to take care of him. You know, we miss him out there. Obviously, what he does, particularly in the field, is such a big part of our winning formula. And the energy he brings and the way he's been playing lately has probably been his best baseball of the year. And so it does hurt not to have him out there. And he's working hard, and our training staff's working hard to help him get to the point where he can get back out there as soon as possible, because we do miss him.
So with that, the team is already playing a man down, really. And then Everson Pereira, while he does not fracture his finger, he was unable to hold a bat. So that ended up putting him in a spot where he almost has to go to the injured list.
We were hopeful yesterday. We tried to test that out, and again, him for him on the hitting side in particular is where that really gets to your hands. It's obviously so important to what you do at the plate, and we just did not see the progress that we were hoping to make yesterday with that. So, you know, with Everson, you know, we're going to end up needing to take a few days to let this calm down, and we'll have what's hopefully a short-term IL stint for him. And that allows us to bring Ramon Urias, whose rehab is pretty much at the end stages, to bring him back and help us out here as we look to make a push to get us to September. So not something that appears too severe. The x-rays look good. We seem to have dodged the worst with Everson, which is nice because he's been a nice spark since he's come. But, you know, obviously it's tough to play shorthanded, and with this lingering and being a little more severe than we originally hoped in terms of his ability to do things, we wanted to just make sure we were able to give it time to calm down without putting a lot of other people in uncomfortable positions, given he can't play for a little bit. A
couple other things from Hein Bloom that I thought were interesting from his conversation with Tom Ackerman on Sports on a Sunday Morning. This stretch was a tough stretch, a three-city road trip. You had a five-game series in there against Cincinnati. In many ways, especially with where the team is at right now, you have to survive these type of stretches. And Heim did say that a lot of planning goes into what you need to do to survive these stretches, but at the same time, things pop up that you can't plan for.
That's the puzzle we're always trying to solve. You know, you talk about the five-game series. That, obviously, we could plan for because this has been on the schedule ever since we got rained out there earlier in the summer. So, you know, it kind of played into things when we were mapping out Quinn's debut, knowing, okay, he's going to come up, he's going to be able to help the rotation out then. And then we're hoping to keep him around for a little bit. Obviously, we make some moves at the deadline that makes that harder to do, so he goes back down. Either way, we anticipated lining him up for that doubleheader. So that was really on the radar for multiple weeks. But when you zoom out even further than that to weather a stretch like this week, you get some things medically that you cannot predict. I joke with a lot of people, and I don't know that it's really a joke, but it's kind of gallows humor that it often feels like a big part of my job and our job as a front office is to think of all the things that can go wrong and do everything we can to try to prevent them or to insulate us from them. And that doesn't necessarily sound like all that much fun, but it is satisfying when you do manage to build in those plans that allows other people to step in and get you through it. That's the nature of 162. I've found, you know, over the experiences I've had in my career, and I know there's a lot of people in baseball who said the same, and frankly, our fans can see that too. You always focus on 1 through 26, and really, in some cases, you focus on your 5 or 10 best players. But when you're building this for the year, you know you're going to have to go much deeper than that to get where you want to go. And the cool thing when you do get there is, you know, when you're in the tournament at the end of the season, you can look back and you can point to all these different situations where so many people stepped up and did jobs to help, whether they're people that started the year in the minor leagues or maybe even sometimes people that didn't even start the year in your organization that find ways to get involved and help us out. And you look at you know, there were a couple instances of that just this week alone, and hopefully we'll see more of those as we get through September. So that's part of the puzzle that we need to solve. It's not always fun in the moment when you're navigating those unforeseen sucker punches that the game will give you, but we know those are going to happen. You don't always know when, so you just try to map out as many possibilities, as many contingencies as possible to make sure you never get caught flat-footed.
And then the last thing, and this is something that this is the dark cloud that continues to hang over all of baseball. The Cardinals are doing so much this year in terms of trying to prepare for 2027. And 2027 will be about 2028, but the issue about 2027 is we don't know what it will look like. We don't know what spring training will look like. We don't know if opening day is going to happen, when opening day is supposed to happen, because labor negotiations and everything and the unrest that goes along with a labor situation. And Haim did acknowledge that it is a bit of a challenge when you are planning for something that you don't totally know what it's going to look like.
Well, anytime you're at this point where you know the CBA could change, and you know, usually it does change at least a little bit, and sometimes it changes a lot. You don't know exactly what that's going to mean. I think the number one thing we've tried to keep first and foremost, and I do think it really runs perfectly with our bigger plan here, is we know that to be the consistent contender that we're aiming to get back to being, we're just going to need waves of talent coming through our organization at the big league level and then on the way up. And if we're able to build that, if we do amass that, we're going to be in a position where whatever comes, whether it's exactly the same or whether there are major changes, that will be built to weather it because we've tried to put together all that talent. So that's something you never really feel like you reach the finish line with that. But I think whatever changes do come, the fundamentals of building good rosters, the fundamentals of building good organization, those don't change all that much over time. It's just the methods and the creativity that we use as clubs to try to get to that point. That's where the arms race is, and that's where things are always changing. But if you don't stray too far from those fundamentals, I think you put yourself in a good spot.
That is Cardinals President of Baseball Operations Haim Bloom, just some of what he had to say to Tom Ackerman yesterday morning during sports on a Sunday morning. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. All right, we're starting to wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Again, Cardinals off tonight, back at tomorrow. I'm not trying to overstate the importance of a 500 team playing a midweek game against Baltimore towards the end of August. I'm not. That's not what I'm trying to do here. But I do think that this next three-game series, to me, and look, anytime you're in the moment, it feels bigger than probably it actually is. But when you consider the run that the Cardinals were on, winning series after series after series, as they played themselves back into wildcard contention, following that up with a terrible weekend in Philadelphia. I say terrible weekend. They could have easily won two of the three. They lost all three. That's what makes it terrible. You get swept when you don't win a single game and you have a couple challenging moments in the game. Terrible. But I wouldn't say that they played that poorly. There were poor moments. Riley O'Brien had a bad day, certainly, on Sunday. There were poor moments in the game. But just, the weekend did not go the way you would want. I'm spending way too much time trying to put a definition to what it was. So what happens here? Do the Cardinals do what they've done all season long? Anytime that they've felt a little bit of adversity, they go run through it. They react to it. They bounce back from it. Whatever sports cliche you would like to use, does that happen again? Does it happen again? And if it does happen again, they win a couple in a row, Marlins fall back, Diamondbacks fall back, and then you're right there. You're still very much in playoff contention, and you're still very much playing games that matter. But if there is a hangover, and there's no reason to believe there would be either. Like, I feel almost, I want to punch myself in the face. Maybe that's how people generally feel when they listen to me. I want to punch myself in the face as I'm talking about this, because everything that we have seen from the Cardinals this year is that they are, one of their great skills is the ability to bounce back from adversity. And why wouldn't you believe that they could just do it again? Was it because there were some moments that just looked really bad against Philadelphia? Do we just ignore the fact that there's only been a handful of teams this year that have won as many series in a row as what the Cardinals just did, taking a series from the Yankees, from the Rockies, the Phillies, the Cubs, and the Reds before doing this, before losing all three against the Phillies. It's not normal in baseball to just win that many series in a row. So, again, I'm not trying to put lipstick on the pig here. I realize it did not look great against the Phillies. But I'm going to be very curious to see if they do what they've done all year long and find some way to bounce back. There's some more adversity right now than they've had all year long. You've got two pitchers on the injured list right now in Pallante and Dobbins. You've got another pitcher who you're not trusting to go much past four or five innings in Leahy. You don't have a fifth starter. I'm very curious to see what happens there. If they go look to the outside, they've got an open spot on the 40-man roster, so they can do that if they need to. You've got Mason Wynn, who's got the jam thumb, and we don't know if he's going to be active. I mean, there's a lot of things going against him, and I'm not running away from any of that. That being said, they've had some level of adversity at other times this year and have been able to plow right through. We'll see if they do that again this time. We don't know what the pitching is going to look like for sure over the next few days. The Orioles are not a very good team. Not that that matters, because the Cardinals, again, have shown the ability to beat the best teams and lose to the worst teams. But at the very least, you do have an Orioles team coming in that's not especially good. 6:45 first pitch tomorrow. That means coverage at 5:50. We'll do Redbird Rush Hour 5 to 5:50, and then we'll jump into a pregame after that. Thanks to all my guests. This has been a fun show tonight. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow for Redbird Rush Hour and Cardinals baseball here on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.